Hello, my joys, and welcome to the first episode of season 2 of The Power of Joy with me, Adam Lyons. I am thrilled to be back after a couple of weeks. I've been on holiday. I went to Gran Canaria 2 times. I went once for a week on my own for a couple of days, and then my mum, Paula Lyons, who's on this episode today, joined me for a couple of days. Then I was back in the show for a few weeks, and then I went back with my partner. And I got back yesterday and it was just amazing to be in the winter sun. It was like hitting 30 degrees on some days. It was stunning. And it was just the best quality time together, both on the same week off from our shows. But now I am back and I'm going to bring you all of the joy. I've got so many exciting episodes in store. A lot of different ones from season 1 and a lot of exciting guests. It's going to be really, really special. And I'm already like buzzing that I've just sat down today and did a special episode with my mum, Paula. She's been in London, she's been looking after my doggy while I've been on holiday. And we were just potting around and then we spoke about it before, saying should we do an episode at some point. And we just organically sat down, I had no plan, didn't know where it was going to go. And it just reminded me how lucky I am to have such an amazing mum who has been my number one supporter from day one. And do you know what? It made me realise she is where I get my joy from, my motivation, my passion. She really is an inspiration. And I'm so excited for you to all hear her story today and as we reflect on a crazy but amazing life. So my joys, sit back, relax and enjoy this beautiful episode with myself and my mum, Paula Lyons. Hello, testing 1, 2, 1, 2. Hello, Paula Lyons. Say something, please.
Hi there, testing 1, 2. Don't make it too long.
What are you like? Hello, my joys. I am sat here on a Sunday afternoon and my mum, Paula Lyons, has come down from Liverpool as I've just been on holiday, so she was looking after my little doggy Oscar for the week. Paula Lyons, say hello to my joys.
Hello, joys. How are you all? I hope you're all joyful today on this Sunday afternoon, as am I.
That's what I was going to ask you. How are you today?
I'm just a little bit tired as I had to stay up quite late because of a certain son and his partner.
Are you from
Gran Canaria?
Are you from Liverpool? Because I don't know what this accent is you're putting on.
This is my telephone voice.
You're like, my partner.
My telephone voice and my teacher's voice.
Right, okay. I'm with you now.
Yes.
Sorry, yeah, so what were you saying then, sorry?
So, yes, I had to wait till about 1:30 mm-hmm. to till the other two gimps got back in. So I didn't get to sleep till about 3:00. I didn't have Oski to keep my feet warm because they snaffled him back into their bed.
Oh.
I was a bit cold at first, but then I did get off.
He's a hot water bottle, you see, isn't he, when you sleep with him?
He is.
So warm.
I love him so much. My little gorgeous Oski.
Now, let's get straight in. What are the things that bring you joy every single day?
Every day, what brings me joy? Let me have a think. Actually, just being alive, being healthy, mm-hmm. my health. Because I think you get to a certain age and you're expecting something to go wrong. With your health, and every day I get up, that's a blessing that I'm healthy and I'm able to do anything I want to do. I'm active, still for my age. Yeah. I go to the gym, I can get up and go to the gym, I go walking, I can travel anywhere I please. And every day, just nature really. I'm into my nature, fresh air, love walks, walking most of all. When it's bad, I'll go to the gym. So that's the main thing, is being healthy and also knowing my two sons are happy every day.
Yes.
I just think if they're happy, I'm happy. Oh. If they're fit and healthy and they're getting on with their lives, I've done a good job.
And that you definitely have, because I'm very happy. I'm the power of joy.
Yes. You can be a pain in the but at times, you know, but
we all can.
Basically, you're all right.
Yes. And for people who don't know you, give us a little background. What do you do? What's your job? Give us a little background of your life.
Oh, God, have you got a few hours there, listeners? It'd be hard to pinpoint, but yeah, still working at the moment, retiring next January, looking forward to that.
And what do you do?
I'm a teacher, part-time now. And that's getting a little bit, too much now. It's quite a hot, tough job, as most teachers would know, even though I'm part-time. I should be retired now, shouldn't I, at 60? We've had to wait till 66, haven't we? So the pensions were, as you all know, pensions were altered. So, I'm not moaning about that because I've been able to actually still do the job.
Yeah.
And
so. What brings you joy about teaching? What got you into teaching in the first place?
To be honest with you, it wasn't something that I always thought I was capable of doing from when I was younger. I wasn't really that confident, thinking, no, because I left school early and didn't like school, didn't work hard at school, didn't think I was clever enough. So never thought of a professional job. I was thinking more, I don't know at the time. I used to do a little bit of hairdressing, thought I might go into that. Not hairdressing, washing hair and stuff in a salon, and thought that might progress. I was a croupier. Loved that job, loved it. That was unsociable hours in the end when I met your dad. So I ended up when you were 4 years old, Adam, and at school. I thought, right, I was working in an office. I've been there for 20 years and I thought, right, this is the time to do something. I knew I was, itching to do something more, knew I was capable of more and wanted a better life for you and Anthony.
Yeah.
And so I thought, right, I'm going back to education. So I did a few little courses when you were at school, and then I did a course which was 2 years, and it was an access course and it was to get into university. So then I had to choose really what I wanted to do, and then friends who was, my group of friends, they were doing the same thing and they were saying, well, why not? And I said, oh, I don't know whether I could do that. Didn't have a lot of confidence. And then, of course you can. If we can do it, you can do it. So I had friends and influencers and the lecturers in the university were fantastic, interviewed me, couldn't believe I got a letter the week later saying I'd been accepted into uni to do a Bachelor of Education, which was a four-year course with all the guys who had been with in the Access course in Riversdale. Big shout out to them, amazing teachers. It was sort of, I was steered that way. It wasn't sort of a foregone conclusion that was what I was going to do, what I was gone back to do. I just thought, I wanted something a bit more challenging for me, because I knew my brain was better than that and it was getting a little bit stale. So that's how I ended up, really. And then I did my teaching practice, so you do four, one each year. And my last teaching practice was in the school I'm actually in now. So they offered me the job after my teaching practice. And I've been there ever since, 25 years it'll be this year.
That's amazing. 25 years.
25 years. And bearing in mind, I'm not blowing my own trumpets. I had to juggle. I had you and Anthony. I was still working as well when I was at uni.
When you were at Sainsbury's?
Yeah, I worked in Sainsbury's and then I went back part-time when I was at uni. I still did it up until, more or less, right up until I actually started doing my teaching practices.
Yeah.
With your nan and granddad being so good, they were, and your dad, obviously, I was able to keep my little job and also go to uni as well. So, it was the help of others as well. I couldn't have done it alone, but, I juggled well because I was quite good at that.
Yeah. That's one of my earliest memories, actually, is, I used to go to bed, but I couldn't get to sleep until you got back from doing your part-time job at Sainsbury's.
Yeah, little head at the window.
I'd wait in the window for you to arrive, and then I could finally go to sleep. And I do remember, even though like I was a little kid, I do remember how hard you were working. Like, I know that might sound like stupid, but like I do remember because my brain, I always say on the podcast, I feel like I've always been programmed differently to a lot of people, what they would think and feel. And I've always been very in touch with my emotions. And I remember being so like inspired by my mum's drive, thinking, God, she's at university, she's studying, but she's also working late nights at Sainsbury's, like doing everything you can. And so thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
It was all for you too, really.
And I knew that. How weird.
Yeah, it was all for you too. And your dad. Your dad was good too, because I couldn't have done it without him.
Yeah.
You know, he took over at the weekends when I worked in Sainsbury's on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was people around me who, you know, why I was able to do that. Not everyone's that lucky. Mm. So yeah, that's how.
What an inspiration!
Thank you.
As a mum. So how old was I? 4 when you started to study.
When I went back after Sainsbury's, I was still doing. Yeah, you had just gone to school, so I had more time.
Yeah. But that's so inspirational for a lot of people out there. Like, it's never too late.
Never too late.
Well, change your career or want more for your life.
Well, I was 42 when I graduated.
Yeah.
I was 42 and then I started teaching straight away, more or less, because I did supply to start with and, you know, just to test the waters. That was while I was still... I was still working in Sainsbury's. I did a little bit of supply before, and while I still do my teaching practice, so I did a few little days there when I could, to test the waters. Yeah,
I remember being at your graduation as well. Not many kids can say that, can they?
Like, no,
I remember it, and we went for a Chinese after. To the Fung Lock on Allerton Road in Liverpool. Shout out Fung Lock.
That's right. Yeah. Still there. It's a different name, I think, but still there. And granddad came, didn't he? Because Nan wasn't too good, was she?
Nan had Alzheimer's.
Yeah, so remember when I graduated, my dad was okay then, and my mum, she was in the throes, wasn't she, of Alzheimer's, because we've got a picture of us, and my mum was in the chair, and I put my... oh, God, what they call the button? It's gone out of my head. You know, the graduation hat.
What you throw up in the air.
Yeah, what's it called? Oh, God. Don't know. Can't remember.
Graduation hat, we'll call it.
It was on the tip of my tongue then. It's there somewhere. That's the other thing. You think you're getting something when you keep forgetting as well.
Oh, I forget things all the time. We all do as well.
Yeah, and so I had a picture of me and my mum with that on, which keeps my hat on, and with your other nan and granddad as well when we went to see them. My cap and gown.
Yeah.
And so she wasn't well then.
So anyone who is listening now who feels like they want a change of direction in their career or they want more, what advice have you got as someone who has done that and you literally just went for it and was like, nah, I'm going to teach, I'm going to do more. What advice have you got for them making that decision?
Well, like you said before, it's never too late. I was very, very lucky. I did have help and influences around me and encouragement. Mm. Not everyone has that, but if you're I'm a strong person, you know, I thought, yeah, go on, I'm going to go for it, I'm going to try. Always have a go. I mean, what have you got to lose?
Yeah.
I just think have a go, follow your dreams, make a better life for yourself. You know, and your kids, if you've got kids. Just generally, it's for you, really. You know, your mind, you know, you're going to have a better mental health with something that you're going to feel more comfortable in and happy.
Yeah.
You know, never be in a job that you hate.
Yeah.
I mean, saying that, my job's become really difficult and I don't hate it. It's just more difficult now because I'm older. And I love the kids, I'll be honest with you. And there are some little terrors there, but I still love them and want to make sure they're okay. And a lot of our kids, you know, that they have a tough life themselves. And so I'd like to feel like they come to me and, you know, even a hug and, you know, they run up to me and give me hugs and, Mrs. Lyon, she's coming in today to our class. And that's really lovely. but the job is getting tough and I am ready for my retirement now. And I'll probably miss it because I'll miss all the staff.
Yeah.
Because the staff are lovely. We've had, lovely staff working there. And a few of my friends have just gone retired as well. So, I'm ready for that now.
Yeah. And what have you got planned? What do you vision in your retirement
Oh, gosh. Oh, God. What haven't I got planned? So, I want to... I do love dancing. That's where my son gets it from, by the way. But
I used to watch my mum in pantos, by the way.
Yeah, I've always loved the amateur dramatics.
Remember doing the can-can in one of my school pantos at one point.
Yeah, cartwheels across the stage. Yeah. I've always loved I loved the drama of it, but yeah. I also loved the dance. So I went on a cruise just recently in the summer and I did dancing lessons every day. And I learned so many dances that I could sort of do, but you know, if you're not constantly doing them every day, you forget the steps.
Yeah.
And sort of perfected, you know, like ballroom, that type of dance, all different, jazz, cha-cha-cha, the lot. So I really want to go into that in a big way because my sister-in-law, Elaine, she's a fabulous dancer. She took me along with her not long ago to... They go to places like social clubs and they hold dances there and they just get up with their partners or anyone and do the dances. It was a jive. It was an actual jar.
Oh, sorry, one sec. Who's at the door?
Oh, no.
One sec. Sorry about that, everyone. It was just someone from the council asking who I'm going to vote for in the general election or something like that. I'm just doing a podcast.
He said Conservative.
No, yes. I said Labour.
Said the Loony Party.
Well, I actually would vote for the Green Party. Yeah. I've actually voted for the Green Party because the planet is very important, I do believe. But yeah, I would vote for Labour. Anyway, where were we?
Right.
So you're going to go into dancing.
Oh, yes. So I'm going to... So my sister-in-law took me along to a jive dance in a social club. And I was watching them. I was in awe how good she was. She's been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah.
And they go away for weekends. So it's their own little community. And they are all friends together. They know each other and they go and stay in a hotel for the weekend and just dance all weekend. And it's making new friends and obviously a new skill, you know, something new to keep my brain active, trying to remember these steps. Mm. So that's one on my bucket list.
Yeah.
Also, I'd like to learn how to play golf because my son said I'm a natural.
I
got tennis elbow just with one strike, so I don't know how long that's going to last. So, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Obviously more travel. So when I finish work, I'm going on a world cruise. That's going to be booked sort of soon.
Yeah.
And I want to see places like Japan, China, Singapore, where I've never been, because I have travelled a bit and I've...
Yeah, we live for our holidays. We always have, haven't we?
Yeah, been to Thailand, done that. I wanted to do Cambodia, didn't do Cambodia and Vietnam. Yeah. So there's lots of places I still want to travel.
I want you to go to Bali.
Yeah, I want to go to Bali as well, yeah. Everywhere. I want to go everywhere. Haven't been.
Yeah.
So travelling is up there on my list. Also doing a counselling course at the moment. So I'm in my second year. So been doing that other night, one night a week. So sort of plan is, if it all goes well, when I do retire, I'll be in my third year, so I can dedicate myself to the counselling more, do my fourth year, and then possibly get my own little practice. Or, you know, maybe sharing a practice with someone who's actually doing the counselling at the moment. So that'd be like a little sideline for me then, because I think when you retire to absolutely do, I won't be like, there'll be no chance of me doing nothing, but still, you still need people around you, I believe, for me, to actually keep in touch with the world, with outside, and you know, different people of all walks of life, from all walks of life. Mm. I believe it's good for you to do that, and not just, I mean, I probably won't do anything for a couple of weeks when I retire. Absolutely nothing. That'd be lovely, just getting up when I like.
Just being.
Yeah, just doing nothing, basically. And then I'll put my plans into action then. But yeah.
And this is where I get my work ethic from. Because you don't stop. Even like I'm asking you what you want to do. And most people would be like, yeah, just go on holiday. But the fact that you've done courses and like you want to dance, you want to keep yourself going. Like, that's definitely where I get it from, isn't it?
Yeah, probably you do. You know, I mean, Dad's always worked hard as well. So you've got it from both. But, you know, we've never been, I mean, the family, our family and Dad's family all worked. All never, there was no one who didn't work. And you get it from all of us. You don't just get it from me, but obviously I've been probably your greatest influence because I mean, I've nurtured you, and you were very lucky as well, because when I started teaching, I was able then, I had a bit more money, and so you were able to go to the dance schools where you wanted to go, and so you were lucky in that respect. And the school you went to, they nurtured you as well. So you were lucky. They could see the natural talent in you. And so, yeah. Yeah, you probably do get a lot from me. I'm not blowing my own trumpet. But from most of the family, my family are all, you know, have all worked.
Yeah.
And Dad's family, so, yeah.
When did you first discover that, like, I was, like, into performing?
I thought you were going to say something else.
And into sausage.
Well, from to answer both questions, when you were about two, a couple of years old, because you did nothing but sing, and you could just tell you were singing before you were talking, I think. And Dan used to come home from school, you'd be out on the patio area, making your own dances up, singing. Yeah. You were always on, like, had a mic, dressing up with wigs on. I think that's when I knew the other. We have videos of you in the garden with your nephew, cousins.
Yeah.
You had mostly had girlfriends.
Yeah.
In inverted commas, friends. So, you know, yeah, it wasn't difficult to realise then, you know. Dad and I talked about it, and we said, well, whatever will be, you know, we loved you so much, it didn't matter, you know, but you found it more difficult, because you just didn't want to come out with it, but we knew.
Yeah.
So we were just waiting for you, really, if you wanted to, and it didn't matter if you did or you didn't.
Yeah.
You were just you.
Yeah, I feel so lucky, because a lot of people don't have that experience. And I just feel very, yeah, lucky that I never had to feel like this enormous pressure to ever say anything. I just was who I was, and you accepted it and pushed me to be more authentically myself. And the joy I brought you dancing and singing and the joy it gave me, we just swapped joy, didn't we?
Didn't have to push you. You that's what you wanted to do. We couldn't stop you, never mind. You know, and so that's where, you know, that's how it happened, really. You just went in that direction, and there you are today.
I never thought for a second that I'd do anything else. I just knew that I would perform.
So did we.
I was never interested in anything, was I, at school, like in academics, although I was good at English and all that.
Yeah, he was good.
Hence my songwriting. But anything else, I was just like, why am I even learning this? Why am I bothering?
Yeah, he was a little bugger at school. You were
a little
shit. Yeah, because you didn't want to be there. And although they got you a choreographer for school, they brought in a choreographer because Adam was you were the only one who wanted to take that up as a
GCSE dance. Yeah.
Dance. And so they had to get a choreographer in, and they bent over backwards for him, but he still was a little bugger in other lessons, and I had to go and see them a few times, you know. They got called in saying, you know, Adams doesn't want to do this, that and the other, blah, blah. And, you know, I grounded him a few times, had to tie him in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah. the rope from the door handle to the banister.
We had no lock on the door, and he was a really bad-tempered little bugger when he couldn't get his own way. So we tried to, it sounds cruel, this, but so he didn't hurt himself.
It'd be cruel to be kind sometimes.
Well, yes. And then he tried to get out the window, so that we couldn't do even that. So then he ran away.
God, I ran away a few times, didn't I? Yeah. But I just remember that frustration being, it was passion.
Yeah.
It was a frustration of, I know exactly who I am, what I want to do. Why am I doing? I used to just question everything. Things I was being spoon-fed at school, I used to just, like, oppose. I'd be like, why are you telling me that? Why do I have to be a certain way? Why am I learning this for? I just knew what I wanted to do. And do you remember, I'm thick at maths now because I used to have singing lessons during my maths class. Yeah. So I only ever used to do about 20 minutes of maths, which I weren't even listening to anyway. But when I'd be like, why am I learning algebra? Pi, what pi? This, like, all I wanted to do was
is
do
eat
the can-can.
Pies.
Is he pies? Yeah, I do the can-can.
Like, no, you're not thick at maths because I can just say to you now, you know, what's half of 100? And you'll tell me.
Yeah, but I'd have to think about it. I have to add things on my fingers. And the only timetable I probably know is the 9 times table because you can do it on your fingers.
Yeah. But you're learning maths every day, you know, with money and timetables, you know, and you look so, you know.
But personally, I was like, I don't need to know this, like advanced stuff. Obviously the basics, but I was just like, screw this. And I used to be like, can I go to the toilet please, miss? And then just go and tap dance. And just dance around the toilets to pass the time. Because I was just like, I'd rather do that.
Yeah.
But you pushed me. You were always there, my number one supporter.
Yeah, and never pushed you. Just encourage you. Push sounds a bit like, you know, I was one of them pushy mothers.
Oh, no, you were never like a dance mom, were you? But you just wanted the best. And you were there every show, any performance. Even all the, like, performances in the living room. Mm. I'd be like, I'm doing a show. You and Dad would be there.
If you didn't want to do something, I'd say, right, that's okay. You didn't want to go to Lipa. That was paid for by the college. And it wasn't for you.
It just wasn't for me because I knew.
So I said, just finish the term. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wanted to leave Liverpool and go to London. Yeah. And I just knew I had my eyes on the prize of what I wanted.
You wouldn't listen, put it that way. You did your own thing. You were so, like, free-spirited, you know.
But you're a free spirit, that's the thing, so I get that from you.
Yep, you do. And so I couldn't knock that, and I wouldn't want to knock that out of you, but sometimes you wouldn't listen to advice like now, still. Mummy knows best, Adam.
You do. And mums do know best the majority of the time, and you're just such an inspiration to me.
Thank you. Oh, well, you know, this. I know it's a podcast, but it's like probably some things you hadn't realised about me. Now
This is what I love about podcasts, though.
Yeah.
Because when do you ever just sit down and just like talk about and reflect and think about all these joyous things in life and your journey and what you want? Like, these conversations are the ones I value most in life. And sometimes I feel like I haven't got a lot to say to people. Because I don't want small talk and I don't want all little meaningless conversations. These moments of deep conversations is why I love podcasting.
Yeah, I wish I'd have had these conversations with my mum and dad. I mean, we did start to at the end with granddad because he was in the Navy and we all used to ask him questions about the Merchant Navy, what he used to do. He saw his friends getting killed in... in the war and that.
He was a chef on the ships, weren't he? He cooked the most amazing homemade chips you will ever.
Yeah, egg and chips and a loaf full of bread and butter to make butties with. my mum, I do know a lot about my mum. But I wish I could, now sit down and ask more than, you know, when the questions you're asking me.
Yeah.
Like, I do remember my mum wanting to join the Women's Army, the WAF, I think it was called then, and she had to stay at home to look after her mum. And she had to leave when she was 12, leave school at 12 to look after her mum, because her mum wasn't well, she had dementia then, and it was, and she ended up, and they used to call them mad homes then, in the madhouse.
Gosh.
So in the end, her mum was 52, I think she said. I never met her, but I did meet my granddad, didn't I, Lal?
Yeah.
So I do know a lot, but yeah, it's good like that you can sit down with, you know, because when they're gone, it's too late to find out, you know, when you think, oh, I should have asked that, I should have asked this, should have asked, you know, found out a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll have this audio to listen to in years to come. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, my voice.
Whenever I want to hear my mum's voice.
Yeah.
In many years to come, I'll listen to it. It's like a special thing to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, yeah.
Now, Mum, what would you say has been your biggest achievement in your whole life?
Biggest achievement was going back, really, and doing the teaching degree. Yeah, that was my biggest one.
Yeah.
Because having you two, that was just... It wasn't an achievement. That was a natural thing that you take for granted.
Yeah.
And you just think you're going to have kids. You know you're going to have them. And, you know, obviously it's really sad that, you know, for people who can't, women who can't. And so to me that wasn't an achievement. It was just something, you know, I was so grateful for being able to conceive, basically. But the biggest achievement, yeah, I would say, was going back to uni and doing what I did, juggling things, getting the job that I've got now.
Yeah.
And I went part-time more or less straight away so I could have more time with you two. So I've never did, I think, about 5 years. When I say straight away, I did about 5 years full-time. Then I went part-time and I was able to take you to school and pick you up and have more time with you basically when you came in, you know, doing homework or whatever, when I could actually pin you down to do it. And so, yeah, I would say that was a big achievement. That was the biggest one, really, because it was a juggle, you know, yeah.
Oh, well, yes. Well, yes. And what do you want to be most remembered for on this planet, Paula Lyons?
Not to be a pain, I hope, because I have been a bit of a pain, I know, to people, because I'm so strong-minded. And I know I've been argumentative. I hope I'm not remembered for that. But people will say you're argumentative, but because you've got your own opinion.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean to say you're argumentative if you disagree with someone.
Yeah, you're a strong, independent woman.
Absolutely.
Who knows what you want.
I've been a pain in school because I don't think things have been right for staff. I don't like, you know, I'm health and safety in the union. So, you know, I've stuck up for people. But what I would like to be remembered, really, I'd like to be remembered for my sense of humour.
Yes.
Because I feel like I'm really funny. Maybe some people don't, but...
Well, why don't you just, while we're on this topic of being funny, why don't you just give us a little impression of your Cilla Black?
Oh, people love me doing that, you know, and I do like to get up, you know, in karaoke and sing, "Anyone who had a heart, I'll look at you, I know that I love you."
It's so good, honestly. Oh, my God.
Yeah, maybe being remembered for me, Cilla. And,
definitely that.
Yeah. But mostly, you know, hopefully being a caring person and, made people laugh, having a good time. Yeah, she loved a good life. She loved a good time. She did, you know, we used to go out every week, clubbing it and stuff and... having a great time with my friends. I hope I'm remembered for good and not anything negative. Because I feel like I am
just
a positive person.
You are joy.
Yeah. I don't do negativity. Try not to.
But when you do, because say in previous conversations we've had, like where you don't feel good, and we all have days where we feel crap, don't we? We're not perfect.
Yeah.
We're not saying, like, on the power of joy, every day is full of joy. I've been clear about that.
Absolutely.
So how do you deal with them days? Because you practice mindfulness a lot, don't you?
So I do.
How do you get yourself out of the dark part?
Yeah, because I've had some really dark times, as you know, with relationships. So I did a few courses. For mindfulness was for one for adults and one to teach children. When I was, good few years ago now, and so I really got into that, and it helped me, and it still helps me today. I practice it every day. If I can't sleep, that's the only thing that gets me to sleep is doing the mindfulness, breathing. Mm-hmm. The breathing exercises. So I would say to everyone, I teach the kids in school. It's all about now mental health issues in school. And so I do at least 10 minutes a day with the kids, and we do kids yoga. I'm not supposed to be doing it. I'm supposed to be, getting English and maths in and all of this, in the books.
These are the things which count.
Yeah.
Which need to be taught more.
Absolutely. And so I think we'll stuff it. If it's not in the books, it's not in the books. Mm-hmm. Kids are loving it. They do kids yoga. They do, Peace Out, it's called. All little stories, and they have to imagine things. And I tell them all about, how you have to turn your brain off sometimes and do absolutely nothing with your brain, and these are the ways how to do it. Show them the ways how they can turn their brain off from the problems, from the future, from the past, and to be in the present.
Yeah.
Now, and I swear by it.
Yeah.
Absolutely swear by it.
Me too.
Couldn't do without it. Couldn't have got through. When the times have been really, really dark, I think like family around me. Getting me through, family and friends, when mindfulness didn't really touch the sides at the time, because it's very raw in the beginning.
Yeah.
But being strong myself, I got, to, the mindset was then, I can get through this. I've been here before. So, I always think of the positive as to why... I know I'm going to get through it. I've got my health. I've got my kids. I've got my friends. I've got everything.
Yeah.
That's everything to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't need anyone, a partner. It's nice to have one to share things with. But I've come to the conclusion now, I am happy on my own.
Yeah.
I've got lots of friends to do different things with. I keep myself busy and I can relax now. I never used to be able to relax, and that's a big part. You should be able to.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you feel like you're just running, not relaxing. So I'm able to do that now. But it would be nice to meet someone as well, just to spend... time with, on holidays with, and so if there's any eligible bachelors out there,
yes. Send in the applicants immediately. Send them through to me.
Yeah. So, it's hard to meet someone now. I feel, but I don't give up. I never give up. That's my motto. Never give up on anything, on your dream. Whatever you want, go for it. And try your best to get it. Even if, and that's what I used to say, if you can't reach for the moon, then somewhere along the way you will fall amongst the stars.
Yeah.
And so, isn't that a good one, yeah?
I love it, yeah. This is the power of joy. This is where I get it from, people. Can you see? This is why I wanted to do this episode.
Well, I hope it helps.
It will, definitely.
So, never give up. I never give up. I might feel down. I'm not always perfect, and I might moan to you sometimes and have to stop myself and think, there's nothing really to moan about. What am I moaning about? I'm a little bit like a perfectionist in a way as well, and, a bit maybe OCD in my little ways. Mm-hmm. You always say to me, why are you leaving this around? Why are you leaving that around?
Tissues. But that's
my... Sure.
Tissues just randomly round the house. I'm like, well, there's another tissue.
Yeah, because I wipe things with the kitchen towel or whatever, and then leave it, forget to put it in the bin.
But I'd rather tissues than issues.
Oh, that's a good one. That rhymes.
That's the title of a Charlotte Church album I used to love.
All right, okay.
Well, Mum, thank you so much for coming on The Power of Joy. Did you enjoy that?
You're welcome. I did, yeah. It was like a therapy counselling session.
It is, yeah. And yeah. My guests who come on, they always say, oh, that was like therapy.
Yeah.
In the best way possible.
Yeah, because when you're thinking you've done all, you know you've done all this in your life, and then to actually, it makes you realise, well, I've been strong. Mm-hmm. I've done that. And that anyone can do it.
Yeah.
Anyone can do what they want to do to be your manifest. You talk a lot about manifesting things.
I do.
So I take you. You've taught me a lot, to be honest with you. The way you've been positive and doing this podcast as well, and I listen to all the podcasts and all your guests are just amazing people. You know, and I
as are you.
Absolutely amazing. I'd love to be around them more. Each and every one of them have inspired me, and I think they're such positive, happy, full of life people who want to be happy, and they care for people as well.
Yeah, they're the people I allow into my world, and what we all should allow in.
The people
who make us feel good.
Yes, absolutely. I don't allow negativity now. Negative people.
Nope.
I'll draw the line there, you know, but try to help them as well if I can. But sometimes you can't because they're not into thinking that way, and you've got to get your mindset.
Yeah.
You've got to have that mindset to want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people will poo-poo it and say, "Well, look, I can't do that because I'm in this place where I am. I can't, you know, I'm trapped." And I'm this, that, and the, well, I do get it, because you can feel trapped, but it's absolutely up to you to get out of it.
That was bloody amazing. Round of applause for Paula Lyons.
Well, thank you guys.
She's
amazing.
Thank
you for listening, if you're listening. Love you.
Love you. And I love you, my Joyce. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was just so lovely to sit down with my mum and just have a chat like that, and she's just such an inspiration and such an example that no matter what age, it's never too late. Never give up on your dreams. You want more for your life? Go and get it. Go and enjoy the things in life, such as dancing, mindfulness, anything what makes you happy. And when you retire, if you're listening, if you're a little bit older and you're ready for that retirement, don't be afraid, don't be scared. There's so much more for you to grab in life. It's not over. Find the beauty, find some more hobbies, go and enjoy the opportunities and the joyous things which are out there on this planet. I definitely get my work ethic from my mum, and I'm so proud of her, and I can't thank her enough for everything she has done for me. I am the person I am today because of her. Thank you so much for listening, and if you enjoyed this episode and this podcast, please feel free to give it a little share, and you can like and subscribe on your podcast platforms. I will see you next time on The Power of Joy. Have the most amazing week. Lots of love.